I would like to address you for a few minutes on the first two verses of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I'll be very brief. There's only one major point that I want to make. There are several smaller points, if you like, which lead up to it. They all lead up to this one major point. I wonder if you can guess what it is. We know who wrote the letter, Paul and Timothy. We know how they described themselves, servants of Christ Jesus, bondslaves, slaves of Christ. They're not serving themselves. They're not serving men. They're out to please Christ and honor Christ, to serve Christ Jesus. We know to whom they're writing. They're writing to the believers at Philippi. Paul had been instrumental in the church being formed there. Lydia and the jailer, they were converted and others were converted. And he's writing to them. But he doesn't call them the believers at Philippi. The description he gives is saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. They're in Christ Jesus. And they're saints in Christ Jesus. Now, by saints, he does not mean the Roman Catholic papist nonsense of sainthood. All that talk about halos and insipid looks and so on. What the word means here is sanctified. He's not speaking here of that sanctification which we often talk of, the progressive sanctification, when once a sinner is converted, trusts Christ, believes, they're in Christ and they live a life glorifying God in Christ, growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Progressive sanctification. That's not what he's talking about here, although it's true of the Philippians. The word here means separated. Separated. You see, the whole world lies in wickedness. Unbelievers are led captive by Satan at his will. Unbeliever, if you're listening to me, you don't believe me, I know, you won't accept it, but the truth is, Satan is your master. He's pulling the strings, and you're dancing to his tune. You are led captive by him at his will. He has blinded you. 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Timothy 2, and Colossians 1:13. God, by his Spirit, has delivered his people, separated his people out from the kingdom of darkness and translated us, who are believers, into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. Separated, sanctified. They live at Philippi, but they're separate from the Philippians. The unbelieving Philippians are in the world, under Satan's control, in darkness and dead in sins. The Philippians are in Christ, alive in Christ. They're rescued from the kingdom of darkness. They're separated unto God. They're in Christ Jesus, separated from the pagan world. And that separation did not begin when they came to Christ. It did in their experience. But actually, right from eternity past, God had distinguished them and separated them in his electing decree out of that fallen mass of humanity, the lump, the common lump of clay, as Paul describes it in Romans 9. The believer, you see, is in Christ. He is separated from the world. But he was separated by God's electing decree. Believer, this is true of you. Oh, I know men argue about it, but it's the truth. God set his love upon you before the foundation of the world. What is more, Christ came into the world specifically to die for you upon the cross. You were separated then. He died for you in particular. He died for all the elect in particular. He died to save you from your sins. He bore the wrath of God for you. You were separated by the Spirit. He drew you out from the kingdom of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of light. He made you turn to Christ. He gave you faith. He regenerated you. He brought you through repentance to faith in Christ. And he's sanctifying you now. You are sanctified. All believers are sanctified. And they're in Christ Jesus. It's not just a throwaway. It means that God regards us as Christ. Christ is perfect before the Father. That's why you, believer, in yourself, no, but in Christ, yes, you are perfect before God. That's why it says in Romans 8, there is no condemnation now to any man who's in Christ Jesus, any woman who's in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you are as Christ to God, without spot or wrinkle, stain, or any such thing, Ephesians 5. That's why there's no condemnation, Romans 8. Because you're in Christ, and Christ is in you. All that Christ is to God, you are perfectly righteous, beyond condemnation. Wonderful description, isn't it, for believers? They're living at Philippi. They might be in poverty and need and difficulty, but they're in Christ Jesus. And they're saints in Christ Jesus. I don't know whom I'm addressing. Are you in Japan, Australia, Africa? I don't know, South America, wherever you are, America. Wherever you might be, my friend, you might be in the most difficult of circumstances and trials, but are you in Christ? Then you're sanctified, and God sanctified you, separated you, marked you out in eternity past. He gave you to Christ. Christ came into the world to save you and die for you. The Spirit inhabits you. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. You're a saint in Christ Jesus at, is it Philippi, or Laodicea, or Philadelphia, London, or wherever it might be. Together with the overseers and deacons, he writes to the church there, and he wishes them grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. We need grace not only to save us, but to keep us, and to keep us growing in the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus. And peace. What a lovely word. Peace. Perfect peace in this dark world of sin. Yes, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Just an aside, God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you the wonder of that, my friend. Say I said to you, grace and peace to you. I'm saying this to you now, believer. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and David H. Herbert John Gay. That's me. Peace to you from God our Father and David Gay. What would you think of me? Well, you ought to think I'm blasphemous, because I am. If I really meant that, if I linked myself like that, without any hint or suggestion there was any gap, God our Father and David Gay. What a ridiculous, blasphemous thing. And yet Paul and John and James and all these other apostles, they seem to speak and think and read and write about these things, and they seem to link God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ without batting an eyelid. I can only deduce one thing from it. Remember, these men were Jews beforehand. One God. But there's only one God. Father, Son, and Spirit, one God. But they have no compunction of linking God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a tremendous proof of the divinity. He's not trying to prove the divinity of Christ here. No. But it's a wonderful statement of it. I challenge all Jehovah's Witnesses. Do you believe, as Paul does here, in this equality of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you say with me, with Thomas, my Lord and my God? I'll say that to the Father, will you? Yes. Will you say it to Christ? I will. Thomas did. My Lord and my God. It's a wonderful thing there. It's just an aside. It's not the main point I'm going to make. So what is the main point? Well, the main point is this, my friend. Who's missing? I'll say that again. Who's missing? Well, in a sense, the answer will be nobody's missing. But I ask again, who's missing? Let me explain. If you were writing a letter today like this, 99 out of 100 believers would not write like this. If they were writing to the church at Philippi, they wouldn't address it like this. Let me show you what I mean. this is invidious, and I can't do it. But if I mention some cities, and some major cities, say in America, Los Angeles, San Francisco, or Seattle, or and so on and so on, it's invidious. And I could do the same in England, and no doubt throughout the world. And I was talking about churches at X, Y, and Z. Almost invariably, 99 out of 100 would say, oh, that's Pastor Blogg's church. That's Pastor Blogg's church. If I said to you, we're living in the 1960s, and I'm talking about Westminster Chapel in London, what do you think of Martin Lloyd-Jones? Of course you do, yeah. That's Martin Lloyd-Jones' church. That's where he was the pastor. That's where he was the preacher, yes. And I could do the same. I could mention these great cities in America. And right down the scale, too. Your local village, your local church. Oh, that's Pastor So-and-so's church. What's missing? We lose the pastor at Philippi. Paul writes to all the saints. There's no hierarchy, because the pastor today is usually the chief man, is he not? He teaches the church, he rules the church, it's his church, that's what it said, it's pastor's church. I find that not only offensive, I find it verging on the blasphemous, it's Christ's church. But Paul doesn't write to the pastor at Philippi. He never writes to the pastor anywhere, because the pastor does not exist in the New Testament, as is commonly designated. I can't take time here, I haven't time here to establish my case. If you want to read it, I've written two books on the subject. The pastor, does he exist? And the priesthood of all believers. And I recommend them to you if you want to know what I think on it. The pastor, does he exist? And the priesthood of all believers. But he's not here, is he? To all the saints in Christ Jesus, together with the overseers. Ah, you say, there's the pastor. No, it's not. These are overseers, plural. Overseers, elders, teachers, rulers, shepherds. Ah, there's pastor. And of course, in Ephesians, you've got pastors and teachers. Ah, but there should be hyphens between pastors and teachers, and it's one man it's talking about, but it's not talking about one man at all. There's never any one pastor and teacher in the church, in the New Testament. It's always pastors and teachers. That is to say, it's always elders, overseers, rulers, governors, shepherds of the flock of God. Oh yes, of course we need teachers and rulers over us in the Lord. Oh yes, there's abundance of scriptural evidence for that. And the deacons are there for administering the charity of the church, the love, the practical care and concern. I've no doubt about that at all. But there's no hierarchy here at all. And if there is, the saints are put first. But there is no hierarchy. There are teachers and rulers, overseers in the church, yes. But there's no hierarchy of the pastor, and then a board of subsidiary pastors, and then elders, and then deacons, and then members. That's popish, papist, and it's wrong. It's not at Philippi at all. They're all brothers in Christ Jesus. They're all fellow workers. Even the women are fellow workers. You will read it through the letter. So what is the point I'm making? What's missing? The pastor at Philippi. But he's not missing. That was my conundrum, you see, I tried to raise just now. There is a pastor at Philippi, and do you want to know his name? It's Christ Jesus. It's Christ Jesus. The Lord is my pastor. The Lord is my shepherd. Christ is my shepherd. He's the great apostle. He's the great shepherd, the great bishop of my soul. Do you have a pastor? Yes, I do. His name is Jesus. Christ Jesus. Let me read these two verses to you and see if you get it. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get it? When I write, I find that I use the word, say, but. And I use it in the first line of a paragraph, and it comes in the second, and the fourth, and the sixth. And when I'm reading it through again, I try and change the word but into nevertheless, however, and so on, to try and make it less boring. Look how many times Paul used the words Christ Jesus in these two verses. And I'm glad he didn't change them or take them out. It's not boring. The point he is making, Christ Jesus. I said I have one point to make. It's Christ Jesus is the great point. He is the great shepherd. He is the great pastor. He is all. Unbeliever, you need Christ Jesus. Believer, you're in Christ, and Christ is in you, and Christ is all. Paul and servant, this is Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever you take from this little talk, take Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never received him as your Savior and Lord, receive him now. If you have, rejoice in him and look to him. For he is your shepherd, he is your all. He is your Lord, your King, your prophet, your priest, your Savior, your Redeemer. Christ Jesus, the Lord.